Welcome to Happy Hour. Happy Friday, everybody. He's Adam Harahawk. I'm Sean Cantwell. Glad to have you on board here after a long week while me being away from the place.
Yeah, what's going on, everybody?
Glad to be back. A lot of stuff to do. Of course, we'll get the picks going a little later on the show. It's Friday, so we'll do unsolicited advice, all that fun stuff. I got something I got to lead off with, because you guys know, if you've listened to this show long enough, my thoughts on, well, children in general, but certainly children in restaurants and the parents that don't know how to discipline them.
Uh-huh.
And I feel like this may be one of the few things where I feel like I would be in agreement with not only a lot of our listenership, but some of the other talk hosts on this station. A restaurant in Georgia is going viral for charging customers an extra fee for bad parenting, along with other controversial policies. About time.
I mean, it's their establishment. They have every right to charge people for whatever they want. But yeah, you're going to, a lot of people are going to be talking about that policy. You may see a little bit of a dip in parents going out to your establishment, but that
you
might also
so?
Bring a lot of people who don't want kids around going to that establishment. So it might all balance itself out.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to hurt nearly as much as you think it will. I mean, looking into the story, there may be some other things about this place that might, but I don't think that one in particular being one, because, I mean, we talked a while back about that Italian restaurant that was, like, banning kids entirely, and
yep.
Their business has gone through the roof since.
Well, if they want to do that, if knowing going into it that kids are not allowed there, I'm perfectly fine with that. There's a lot of establishments, mainly watering holes, like our favorite watering holes, minors aren't allowed in. You just accept it.
This is why I hang out at bars, because I don't want to be around screaming children.
But
that's why I don't have any children of my own.
If you're at a restaurant with a kid, and let's say, you know, the kid, you know, drops something on the floor, something that adults do all the time, is that going to be enough to warrant a bad parenting charge?
Hard to say. So let's actually get into it a little bit. So this place called Tocoa Riverside Restaurant, their menu primarily features American-style cuisine with an emphasis on fresh seafood. So kind
nice,
of like
love
a,
it.
It definitely sounds like a higher-end place. The
sure.
kind of place where you're probably not bringing your toddlers and, you know, young preschoolers to. However, screenshots of terms listed at the bottom of the menu, namely an adult surcharge for adults unable to parent, have been sparking mixed reactions on social media.
Adults unable to parent.
I love the bluntness of the whole thing already. While an exact cost isn't listed, multiple reviewers condemning the practice claim they were charged up to $50.
Wow.
If you have children...
What'd that kid do? Steal from the register?
I mean, that or he knocked over an entire, like, plate of food. I'm not talking a plate, a whole tray of food.
Yeah, yeah. It would have to be, wow.
Something like
anyway,
that.
Anyway, go ahead. Continue.
So one Google review reads, if you have children, absolutely avoid this place at all costs. Holy moly, the most disrespectful owner made a huge scene in front of the entire restaurant because our children were, quote, running through the restaurant. They were down by the river, and we were told we need to, quote, go to Burger King and Walmart, and that we were bad parents. They have a $50 surcharge for bad children, end quote.
Wow. Well, I'm not tipping. No, I mean, yes. I mean, when I was growing up, me and my brother were not allowed to, we weren't allowed to run around a restaurant. We weren't even allowed to, after we ate and had like a food coma, we weren't allowed to lay on the booth, which I was like, oh, I could really go for a nap right now. They're like, nope, sit up.
Yeah, no.
And, you know, if you needed to excuse yourself from the table, you weren't allowed to crawl under the table. My parents taught us on how to act in a restaurant, and we're going to do the same thing with Joey.
Yeah, my folks were very much of much the same way on that. Like, my dad wouldn't even go out to restaurants with us as a kid because he was so embarrassed by what we might theoretically do.
Well, Sean being the picky eater that he is, this menu sucks.
Trust me, I wasn't the bad one in the family going out to restaurants as a kid. In fact, I was usually the one, I'm not unpacking my entire family's life story on this show today. We'll save that for next week.
Save that for your therapy session. You're paying enough for it.
Have to wrangle up one of my siblings and then our grandma who had kind of, gone a little bit, in her old age. So, it's like, which one am I getting out of the restaurant for us again? It's me. I'm the problem. But so apparently the owner came out and told me he was adding $50 to my bill because of my children's behavior. My kids watched a tablet until the food arrived, ate their food, and my wife took them outside while I waited and paid the bill. How much do you really believe that?
I would have to know what the kids were doing. I mean, just running through the restaurant. There has to be something else. You almost want to get the restaurateur's
side of things.
Yeah.
Another review goes, "Don't go if you have children. We were 3 adults, 2 children, and our 4-month-old baby, and since we entered to the place, they gave us a bad look. Later, my wife was rocking the baby, not crying, just to make him sleep, and the manager told her, 'You don't do that in a fancy restaurant.'" Parentheses, of course, this is not a fancy restaurant. "And later moved our stroller in a bad way," a third person said. I mean, granted, why are you bringing your 4-month-old baby to the restaurant? Like, new parents should be able to eat out too. Well, then get a babysitter for the kid. No one wants to listen to your screaming kid that's not making the restaurant any money, is actively annoying everybody around you.
Well, I mean,
this
in
is
that
one
scenario,
of those things I stand absolutely firm on.
In that scenario, the baby, I mean, she was rocking the baby, so maybe we can assume it's crying, but there was no the kid was throwing a fit.
Yeah, I feel like that's the unsaid implication here, is that the kid was, like, crying, throwing a fit or something, and, the letter writer's just trying to make herself look good. But, again, you don't need to be taking your 4-year-old kid to the restaurant anyway.
It all depends. Like, we didn't take Joey at 4 months. We waited. We took him. I think we have taken him. Anyway, I'll
move on. You're trying to take him to the bar I work at.
I did. Yeah, we did. And he was fine. He was great.
He was listening to us and some of the other drunks who were there.
He didn't puke on the floor. Some of your favorite clientele did. And they were welcome back. So, no, I mean.
They also tip, so what do you want from me?
No, the one problem that we have with Joey is that we put him in there and he's just smiling at everybody. And next thing you know, like, we took him to this. It's an Italian place over near Grand Blanc area.
Okay.
My mom and my dad, my stepdad, liked that place a lot, so we go there. And he had the attention of the good attention of the same place, because he's just smiling at everybody. Everybody's talking to him. A lot of the hot waitresses were talking to him. I was like, oh, man, this kid's got game.
But this kid's going to be a heartbreaker by the time he's old enough to date.
I also know that my kids, at least at this point, he may go into the terrible twos and we won't be able to take him to a restaurant. But as it stands right now, we feel very comfortable in taking him to a restaurant, because he's just very observant. He just kind of looks around. He doesn't cry. If he does cry, it means he's hungry. Get him a bottle. He's done. He's satisfied.
Right.
But then but on the other side of the coin, I have seen parents come in there and kids just screaming, crying, whatever. And they're like, well, we ignore him because we don't want to reward this kind of behavior. Yeah, but you're also in a communal situation. I'm here date night with my girlfriend.
I don't want to trip over your kid. I don't want your kid tripping my waitress and spilling my food on the floor.
Right. No, I can see the element of every argument in this kind of scenario. Tacking on, first of all, claiming that your place is fancy. You shouldn't have to say your place is a fancy restaurant.
Yeah, if you have to say it, odds are that it's really not.
Yeah, you don't have to. You don't tell people you're cool. They tell you you're cool. So for him to say, like, I'm tacking on $50 because of this, taking it at face value, be like, this restaurant guy's kind of an a-hole and is probably trying to recoup money because the business isn't going well. I mean, if I'm being perfectly honest, we've seen a lot of club restaurant owners, and I can think of a couple that would pull this kind of stuff just to supplement their income a little bit. Oh, here comes a baby. Oh, there he cried. Well, we're charging you $50. Or this kid's dropped something, even though guy at the end of the bar just dropped a bunch of stuff. We're not going to charge him, but we're going to charge baby. or a 10-year-old, 5-year-old, or whatever. There's so many questions that need answers.
And apparently it's not just limited to children. This guy just seems to have issues in general. Like, there's a couple of reviews that talk about the place supposedly is dog-friendly, then brought their dogs, and the owner showed up, like, demanding for certification that one dog was a service animal. Another one was, the owner was very argumentative with us about bringing the dog into his establishment, claiming the dog needed documentation and a high-vis vest not required by federal law.
It can be. I mean, if it's a service animal, it has to have that vest or a certain leash or whatever.
It did have a service dog with a full harness. It did have, but it was talking about like a high-vis vest and, you know, some other documentation that they apparently weren't happy with. Like, and that's another one where, look, I love dogs. I love animals in general. I love dogs.
Yes.
Most of them shouldn't be allowed into most bars and restaurants. I mean, there are some that are absolutely cool. But some people just like to bring their dog that's not used to people at all, and it's almost always a pit bull who just starts barking at the top of its lungs and freaking people out.
Or a German Shepherd chasing a bass player that's running up to the stage.
Yeah, there's that, too. I'm not exactly a fan of. But it sounds like this guy just wants to pick fights with people. Like, here's another interesting thing. Users on Reddit have pointed out the menu says customers will be charged an extra 18% gratuity for parties over 6 people, parties that ask for separate checks, and parties that order from the birthday menu.
There's a birthday menu?
There's a birthday menu, and they automatically charge you an auto gratuity for ordering from.
Yeah, this guy just needs to find a new business.
Find a new line of work.
Yeah.
There's a $3 surcharge listed for sharing food, and an extra 3.5% charge for non-cash payments. Just this guy, like, you can just see an entire, like, side of the menu where it's just him listing his grievances with literally everybody he's ever come into contact with.
If my ex-wife shows up, the person she's with gets a 20% tacked onto their bill. If anybody's wearing a sports jersey that I don't agree with, that's a paddling.
Like, it sounds like he'd be that kind of guy, you know? Like, he's just tacking on, he's using, almost like he's using his power, such as it is, to just go after people for seemingly no good reason. Like, you know, I started this whole thing kind of on your side, and you've really kind of lost me with every, like, progressive thing from there.
Yeah.
That's rather impressive. Congratulations. It is happy hour. Plenty of stuff to do today. Stick around. Back after this. It is happy hour. He's Adam Hairhuck. I'm Sean Cantwell. And we've made very clear on this show, over the years and even the 6 months or so that we've been back on terrestrial airwaves, that we are very much pro-service industry worker. I don't feel like there's really any ambiguity about that. Like,
we wear it on our sleeves.
We do, mostly because both of us have worked in the service industry for good chunks of our existence.
Or we have relatives or wives who work in the service industry.
I mean, really, you shouldn't need that to be a good person, but, you know, some people just apparently do. But, you know, there's one thing in which I do find myself kind of breaking away from my normal take on this thing, and that is the tipping culture is admittedly getting a little bit out of hand.
Yeah.
Things that never used to require a tip, now you are just the worst person in the world if you don't leave a tip. Like, obviously, servers at any restaurant ever. Apparently now, I mean, that's expanded to even when you're getting takeout from somewhere because they're supposedly not getting charged full wage. Like, it's an extended, like, variety of things. Like, you're supposed to tip your hotel people, your hair stylist, any public transportation you might take or whatever. Yep. This is where I draw the line. A man was left raging after a self-service checkout machine asked him to leave a tip.
Okay, yep, I'm on board with this guy already.
While tipping is expected in some parts of the world, and this, I believe, is from a British rag of some sort, the customer was understandably left feeling baffled after being asked for a tip by a kiosk. The man simply purchased a chicken Caesar wrap and a bottle of water in an airport shop when the machine asked if he'd like to leave a 15%, 18%, or 20% tip. It didn't take long for Reddit users to jump in on the action, with one candidly asking, "Tip who exactly?"
Right. What are you doing, R2-D2?
That, I don't understand how that's a thing.
I've never heard of that because, I mean, even in my industry, a manned checkout, somebody who's actually there checking out, is not allowed to accept tips. They could lose their job for accepting tips.
I've heard that. I've told it's kind of a gray area with fast food. Like, I know there's a certain place that runs things out to your car where apparently they are allowed to accept tips. I don't know what
they probably are not allowed to, but they're like, you know, they're not going to be like, hey, I got tipped $5.
You're fired.
You're Mick fired.
Exactly. Like, this just...
get out of here.
Like, apparently, like, you see the list of things that are expected now to be tipped, like... And they had to do, like, this website, like, a whole list for, like, if you're traveling to America where they expect to be tipped for things. Taxis expect an absolute minimum of 15%, apparently. There's a whole survival guide here. This is interesting, and I want to see if you guys, what you guys think about that. I'll throw it out to you, certainly, as someone who is a service industry person who presumably tips well and whatnot.
I don't tip. I'm not one of those people that, you know, 50%, 75% tips, but I do math. I do math. What's 20% of this? But I tip 20%, 20 to 25% from, unless things go really, really wrong.
Yeah.
But anyway, continue.
I will say I'm better than that. I'm not going to, you know, get into, you know, being that guy right now, but.
Sure.
Who must I tip? Almost anything that moves in the sphere of travel in the U.S. Taxi and Uber drivers, of course. Bellhops who take your bags to the room. Guides and bus drivers on excursions. And when eating and drinking, waiting staff and bartenders. This also extends to dining cars on trains and drinks at airport lounges. Though there is no expectation yet of tipping airline staff for a safe and punctual flight.
Yeah, don't crash. Here's a 10. I will tip exclusively with... people in the workforce I know are not getting a livable wage because it's like the server wage.
Right.
Those people I will tip. There's times that, like, I don't, if I know that you're making at least minimum wage, I'm not going to tip. Like, there's times that, you know, you go to like a little kiosk, a little party store, for, and I buy pop or chips. And, you know, they got a tip jar. I'm not putting any money in there. I grabbed it myself. You rang it up. Our transaction is done.
Right.
That's it. I will tip in situations where they go above and beyond. Like when we went to Chicago, this cab driver, I had a big old suitcase because Dorothy, we went there for 3 days. I think Dorothy thought we were going there for 2 weeks. I'm just huffing. And I'm not completely out of shape, but I'm not in shape either. I'm in like right in the middle. I'm in the Kevin James spectrum.
Right. You're a well-fed gentleman.
I'm
That's
a well-fed gentleman. So I'm going out of that big train station they have there. I'm huffing this bag. And this cabbie saw me from like kitty corner from that street, saw me, gave me the point, drove over there, grabbed this big old bag, put it in the bag thing. Gave us nice small talk, let us know where some good restaurants are. I tipped him. Absolutely. But if I get into a cab and I tell them where I'm going, they're like, okay. And it's silent. It's, you know, and, you know, there's been a couple times I went to a cab in Toronto. They're like, go to this hotel. Well, where's that? It's by the airport. Well, where's that? You're the cab driver. You don't know.
Shouldn't you know? Don't you? Like 90% of them have like a GPS thing on the dash of their car. Like, how do you not know this?
Yeah, so yeah, I didn't tip them.
No, I imagine you wouldn't. Taxi drivers apparently expect an absolute minimum of 15%. Anything less or no tip at all will appear to him or her that you're awarding yourself a discount. For a smile at the end of the ride, it's 20%. As far as hotel staff goes, if you're staying at the kind of place where bellhops take your bags to your room, you'll be expected to pay per bag anything from $1 upwards. If a member of the staff shows you how to switch on the light in your room, they will be expecting a minimum $5.
I got it, dude.
Housekeeping staff may leave a handwritten note for you with the implication that you will leave some notes for them. Yeah. Do you tip the housekeeping people at the hotel?
You know, I just stayed at a hotel. For a station event, you'll be receiving the receipts for that. No,
good luck collecting on that.
But you know, I was like, I had no cash on me, so I, you know, Drew just makes it rain.
Well,
Drew makes it rain on the table for, you know, for me, I'm just like, I know for a fact that they make an hour, at least a minimum wage rate. So right. I don't know. It's they would have done it anyway.
Right. I mean, I ended up flipping them. I think when we went on that trip, you, me, and him, I ended up like leaving a five on the dresser. I mean, granted,
I didn't have any cash, but what I did do was make sure that all my garbage was in the trash can.
Yeah, we were not sloppy people by any
no,
means.
No, no, I made sure everything. I was only in the room to sleep because it was just to make sure that I got home safe.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That certainly helps. So, I mean, I'm absolutely willing to do that.
Where, sidebar, what industry will you not tip for?
What industry will I
not? Not personality, not, oh, if this person doesn't do this, I'm saying, if I go to X, I'm definitely not tipping.
You know, there's not really a whole lot of, I can't imagine too many things where I would, like any restaurant or anything.
Well, what about when you go to a sporting event or an usher, not the lawn, of course, but somebody that shows you to your seat?
It's very rare that I really encounter that. Like, they usually just point you in the general direction. But yeah. I guess, no, that would be the one thing. Is there an expectation you're supposed to? Like, if so, that's not something I've heard of. It is happy hour at Solid State Radio. It is happy hour. He's Adam Harahuck. I'm Sean Cantwell. And hello. It's that time of the week again. It's time once again for Sean and Adam's unsolicited advice.
Oh, no.
Where real people with real problems send real questions to real advice columnists. And then we get our hands on them. We solicit. We intercept. And we do better advice than people that like get paid to do this for a living.
I agree.
This one I feel like isn't going to take a whole lot of time because I feel like we both are going to know what the answer is right off. But let's do it anyway.
All right.
Dear somebody who cares.
Yes.
I've been in a relationship with a man for over 35 years but only married for 21 years. We have two children, 26 and 19. I recently found out he's been working with the woman he was sleeping with while we were dating. They've been talking after work, plus he calls her when she's not at work. He says it's just to say hello and check up on her. He deletes his call log, but I still see the phone bill with all the calls. Of course he keeps his phone on vibrate. I also found out she wasn't the only woman he slept with. What should I do?
Two schools of thought here.
Leave him. And that's always my, and that's very much my opinion this one too. But here, you tell me why she should stay with the cheater. Have at it. You know, it's okay. She's totally still messing around, but it's okay. You should get over it and love him anyway.
Okay, well, that you're to the second part already. Let me deal with the first part. Just go stand in the corner. here's a snack pack. I'll call you when I'm ready. So, I mean, yeah, okay. So he cheated on her when they were dating. That was 26, 27 years ago. That deserves to be left in the past. Okay. I know everybody's like, well, cheating doesn't have a statute of limitations. I think it does, especially when you have kids involved and you've been married and you've built up a life together. You can't be like, oh my God, I didn't realize that, you know, before we were married, you pinched the waitress's butt. Oh, it's done. That's over. Now we move to the second part. Sean, go ahead and take off your blindfold and your falcon mask.
All right. Leave him now. Leave him immediately. So he's...
It looks bad. It looks bad that he's still talking to her and deletes conversations.
Deletes the call logs. That's the... Okay,
but we don't know if it's a sexual kind of conversation.
Doesn't matter. If you feel like you have to hide your talking to somebody from your wife, then that probably means unless they're teaming up to give you the Christmas gift of a lifetime, that there's in no way, shape, or form is that okay. And even then,
look under your chair.
unless they're talking about how they're going to say, unless she works at like a Ferrari dealership and he's coming home with something for you for Christmas. There is no way that
she works at a Ferrari dealership. Bring mama home a Ferrari, cherry apple red. But there's no way.
Like yeah. You're going and literally deleting the logs. And the fact that you're going and through the phone bill and looking at who he's been talking to shows that you don't trust him either, which is fair, but then it also says this isn't going to work.
Yeah, okay. I'm going to throw this Hail Mary pass, and this is not going to land, but I'm going to do it anyway. What if the genders were reversed? Like, okay, so a woman is still talking to a guy she had a fling with 25 years ago. And, well, you just don't trust me. Why? I should be able to talk to my friends. Why are you being so, and we're.
Why are you deleting the call logs?
Yeah, but if we're like, maybe it's because, and again, we're switching the genders here. Maybe the husband has had a situation where he has been dominating over the wife to where if he sees those calls, it's going to cause all kinds of trouble. So she wants to have a nice conversation with a friend. I'm not even going to call him an ex-beau. I'm going to say a friend. And
I feel like the ex-beau part is important, though, in all
Yeah,
this.
But we're also talking two and a half decades of a span. Here, I still talk to some...
But here's the thing. It's not even just, two decade span or whatever. This guy was still with the wife when he was having an affair with this woman. It's not, okay, this is someone I dated before you ever met. This is someone I was screwing around on you with. Yeah, that absolutely adds an extra bit of, but I don't trust then, you, and for good reason.
Yeah, but since then, they've had two and a half decades of a life together. They
and
have
he's apparently had
together.
2.5 decades more mistresses.
So every year he gets a new mistress. It's a mistress of the month club.
Like it's come out. There's been more of them, and more recently, like.
So I mean, has her in the letter?
Yeah, that was literally the last thing in the letter. It said she wasn't the only woman he slept with, while they were together. So no, absolutely.
Well,
not.
I mean, geez,
are we really going to defend adultery here? Is that where we're going on this
well,
show?
Well, I don't know. We have not heard that he had any kind of sexual encounters while they were married. It was before they were married.
No, before they were married.
Before they were married.
They were married. They were together for 14 years before they got married. That still doesn't make it any better.
There is no facts that he had any kind of sexual encounters with these women
while they were together, though.
Well, after they were married.
I don't think it matters whether they were married or not. They were still. He was in a committed relationship with this woman who he had children with already, because the children predate the marriage, too. I don't know if you noticed that by the ages. I know math is a little bit hard sometimes, but 21 years, one of those kids is 26. Do the math. They were together.
Maybe she's like, oh, that's my stepkid, but it's his kid now because he... We've been there, haven't we, guys?
No!
I don't know. I mean, does it look bad? Oh, yeah. Oh,
it
yeah.
Is because it is
I'm
bad.
Definitely playing the defense attorney on this one.
It looks bad because it is bad.
Yes, but you don't have any proof that any kind of... Does it look bad? Yes. You don't have any proof that he's been stooping anybody since you guys got married.
Quite frankly, at this point, I don't think you need proof. Sometimes the cover-up is worse than the crime, and this seems like one of those.
You sound like a Spartan fan.
The cover-up is worse than the crime. Fire him out of a cannon into the sun. Everyone who's responsible in this decision-making process also needs to be fired out of a cannon into the sun.
If my client has ever seen the glove before, he's guilty. You must not acquit. I don't know. I mean, dumping him, that's very extreme. Considering, I mean, they have been married for X amount of years. He needs to be open and honest. He needs to stop with that BS or that stuff of deleting phone calls and everything else. Because, I mean, that does look bad. He's got to admit. It's like, wow, this looks really shady, what I'm doing here.
Like, I don't really think that there's... I don't know if there's any salvaging this, to be honest with you. I mean, at some point, you got to tell him, like, hey, either it has to be brought up, it has to be brought up directly to him. Like, hey, I know you've been having phone time with that woman that you were messing around on me.
Let's just call her Stella. You've been having funny phone time with Stella.
And then deleting the calls and thinking I wouldn't see him. Like, I don't even know if there's enough couples therapy in the world that can save this thing. I really don't.
I just recommend maybe getting both the women in a room and talking things out in a very clear, concise, mature adult way.
Well, yeah, you mean obviously you're going to have to do that, but also...
And then there's a lot of wine involved.
All I'm saying is if he starts lying about it further, that's when you produce the phone bill. Like, Oh, I've been caught, so...
You've been watching too much Maury.
Okay, so what do you want in the divorce? Let's make this somewhat easy on me, shall we?
Everything.
I mean, he's got to kind of play somewhat a bit of ball with you because you've now caught him in that.
Yeah.
But you can't completely just...
But the thing is...
Take him to the cleaners because then he's going to parade, one day your kids are going to get married and he's going to bring his affair partner as the date to the wedding.
Yeah.
And then you're going to have to be confronted by that all over again.
But if she confronts him with divorce papers and is like, okay, I know you were talking to this person, she's not going to be able to go to a divorce trial for that and say, oh, he was talking to somebody. Well, what does that mean? Well, it was his ex. So? How do you know there was any kind of infidelity? Well, I don't. It has to be clear, concise. That's why they hire private investigators, getting pictures of them coming out of a hotel room together.
Exactly. Like, this sounds like it's bound for an episode of Cheaters. I think maybe we've already been there. Hard to say.
Is that still on? Because that'd be a good show to watch.
I don't know, actually.
That was a good show. Except for the one time where one of them got stabbed.
Right. They pulled a knife on the host of the show.
And he got stabbed.
Like, I mean, it's bad enough when you walk in and get busted like that. You don't expect to get stabbed in the process. Oh, I guess I should really be amazed that doesn't happen more often.
Yeah, well, yeah.
In that line of work.
I mean, Chris Hansen, hi. I see you're enjoying that iced tea. Oh my God, he's got a gun.
But at least in Chris Hansen's case, there are police like waiting like immediately behind the curtain where he's walking out from, where you hear the kid yelling back from. Like,
there's some iced tea. Yeah, okay, yeah.
Like, if he tries, if
you were referencing to catch a predator, yeah.
I think people, I feel like that's still a current enough pop culture reference that people know what that is, man.
It hasn't been for like 20 years, I believe.
It has not been off the air for 20 years.
I believe it's been 20 years. Because, I mean,
it like came out 20 years ago. Like, do you know how long 20 years ago is, Adam? Again,
yes,
here we come back to math. 2003.
Yes.
The show didn't go off the air in 2003.
Okay. Well, it hasn't been on for a while, but
I thought he was still doing it somewhere. Like, I don't think he's doing it Dateline anymore, but I thought he was back to doing that.
I think there were some lawsuits actually that kind of curbed it. I mean, it hasn't been on in a long time. I'll tell you, at least 10. We'll look it up during the break because this is boring, you guys. But I'm guaranteeing that To Catch a Predator on Dateline has not been on in at least 10 years because there were lawsuits.
Well, yeah, didn't one guy like? Well, there are a few things that went down and all.
Well, there's
that.
A lot of defense lawyers like, listen, he really was trying to help this 12-year-old he was trying to meet up with. Yeah, I mean, he had a bunch of condoms in his wallet, but that just means he's a safe person. Yeah, he
explain the chat logs.
He
tread lightly here.
Back after this.
So basically, the moral of the story is here that he's absolutely cheating on you. He's having an affair with this woman and is doing the world's worst job of covering it up. Like this guy didn't even think to buy a burner phone. I mean, come on. What are we even doing?
Because he's not doing anything wrong. He didn't need a burner phone. He didn't think, he just isn't.
He's not doing anything wrong by carrying on an affair with somebody.
His wife is just a jealous B-word that doesn't want him to have any friends.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's absolutely not what is going on here. You laugh now when he shows up after the divorce with her as his date. Like, I knew it. I knew this. And I'm not sure what we really all hope to have taken away from this, but I'm not sure if it's going to help anybody or not. But well, hope. Maybe it did. Wow, we didn't even have time to do a second letter. That's how wrapped up we got in that. And here I thought that was going to be easy.
We didn't even really come to up with a resolution. You're like, burn everything, which is your
That
standard.
Is my resolution. Burning everything can be a solution.
And I'm like, if the glove doesn't fit, you must acquit.
Just because you disagree with my absolutely correct take on this does not mean that we didn't come up with a good resolution for the letter writer.
Move on. I'm done with this.
Oh, stick around. We got to hit another break. When we come back, maybe we'll get into the picks or something next. Who knows? It is Happy Hour at your local alternative Salisty Radio. It is Happy Hour.
Hi.
He's Adam Harahuck. I'm Sean Cantwell. And... I haven't done one of these things in a while. throw out a question to you and the general populace here. What's something that's frowned upon that you believe is perfectly okay?
Oh.
And okay. I've got plenty of examples, so if you need to.
Yeah, why don't you go through those and that'll kind of...
freshen your brain a little bit?
Yeah, a little bit.
Maybe the whiskey will help with that, too?
Sure, absolutely.
The top one is saying, no, I just don't feel like it when people ask you to do something with them.
I mean, is that an issue? I mean, that's something that we have been normalizing, especially since the pandemic. It's, I mean, there's a polite way of going about it. I mean, if you're one of those people that just like, okay, I have plans, or I have plans to just sit home and do nothing. If somebody says, hey, you want to hang out with us? No, I don't want to. There's other ways of going around it. A polite way.
Yeah.
I think a lot of these are going to be, there's a very abrupt way, and then there's a very much more polite way. Thank you. I appreciate the offer, but I have plans to do this. But next time, hit me up.
Yeah, well, I think some people, like, this goes to a lot of the really just socially awkward or the social anxiety kind of people that, like,
sure,
make themselves feel bad for saying, no, I don't want to do anything at all.
Sure.
Or whatever. Like, I don't think people are really as, I mean, there are some certainly who probably are, but I think, you're mostly just working yourself up in your own head about that.
Well, I mean,
although it's frowned upon so much.
Quite a few shows ago, we talked about getting together after work. And I said, yeah, you build a lot of strong working relationships with people you see outside of work. And like, I like them in a bar atmosphere because you get to see people loose and everything else. But we had this one person and he was a fantastic worker and we'd invite him and he would respectfully say, I like working with you guys. I think you guys are great people, but I really appreciate my sleep and I really appreciate my downtime. We said, okay, we just accepted that.
Yeah, and sometimes, you know, some people are just like that.
Dude. Yeah. Other people are like, oh, come on, man, you suck. You need to come hang out with us.
No. Oh, yeah, we've all dealt with people like that. I am the person that is, like, seemingly incapable of saying no to anything.
Well, I mean, it's if you're talking about, like, going out and hanging out somewhere at, like, a sporting event or something like that, if I was to say, Sean, dude, I got this place that is having a great, scrapbooking place over there. Fantastic. You'll love everybody. Why don't you come join us?
No, I would absolutely tell you no. Actually, I would probably specifically say that sounds like the literal worst thing in the world.
But a lot of
people... You have fun with your lame-o.
A lot of people would say, some people who are right in their own head would be like, you know, I'm not into that, but you enjoy, and, you know, thank you for thinking of me. Sean would be like, that's stupid, you're stupid, everything else is stupid.
Everything you love and hold dear in life is stupid.
I seriously hope that somebody firebombs the entire organization. I really do. Anyway, I'm out of here.
Right.
Thanks, Sean.
I mean, I am, though, and you know this to be true about me because you see all the things I take on a daily basis. Like, I'm not really good at saying no to a lot of other things.
No, yeah.
Or making plans to do things with people. Like, okay. Like, it's also why I'm late for literally everything
in
my life.
We have a problem. You and I both have a problem of, you know, putting too much on our plate.
Rachel's also told me in the past, I need to teach you how to say no to people because I'm really good at it. And she is. It looked from where my angle like the thing was open. It's like she's really good at telling me, nope. Even if her only plan is to sit and read a book with her cat, like she doesn't care. And I am like, no, I could totally do this. I can totally juggle this with the 25 other things that I'm supposed to be doing right this second.
And see, in my own mind, I'm having this internal struggle because on one end, I want to be the endless entertainer. I want to, as times in a band and radio and everything else, I want to entertain people. But then there's also the time where I just want to sit and play Xbox. And you almost have to kind of like hide that aspect of your personality. Like Rachel probably feels like she needs to hide that aspect where she just wants to sit and read a book.
Oh, she doesn't care. She's embraced it at this point. She's okay with it.
Yeah, but I mean, to ask her if somebody says, would you like to go do this? And she probably doesn't feel comfortable saying no.
Oh, she's fine with telling them no at this point. She's totally
no, I'm going to go read a book.
Yeah, basically. And, I just need to sit at home and decompress and not people for a while. She's very good about being pretty.
You know, since the pandemic, that has been a beautiful part where those people with those elements of their personality, they can let the flourish. They can say, okay, I don't want to be around people. And everybody gets it or should get it.
Meanwhile, I've become more like I need to be around people.
After the, during the pandemic, you had a lemonade stand. I thought it was a lemonade stand. It was actually a bar. It was, like, come on up here. No, want a shooter?
I mean, let's be honest. We basically work out of a bar on a daily basis, so that's not that far from the truth.
Very much
so. I get it, but it's also just not how I'm wired, because for as much as I hate people, I like just feel the need to be around them. I don't understand why my brain is like this, but it just is.
Yep.
So I just do it. This one I really cannot disagree with. Skipping chit-chat in a conversation and getting straight to the point.
Oh, yes. One of the reasons why I initially hated texting, I love it. Because when somebody would call you, especially when I was talking like band members and stuff like that, you felt the need. Hey, how's it going? Oh, all right. Anyway, this proposal has happened to us. Do you want to do it? As opposed to I can just text them, hey, this proposal has happened. Can you do it?
Yeah, it's one of the reasons why I don't like talking on the phone. The texting for me, like, from the jump was, like, my preferred method of communication.
Texting is beautiful.
Because I get to avoid all this. Like, just tell me what the hell you want.
Yeah.
How difficult is this? Just tell me what you want. Let's get to the point.
You know what? From now on, for at least 2 weeks, I'm going to tell you what I want. But after, first, I'm going to text you, how you doing? How you feeling? Can I ask you a question?
And here's the great thing about that. I'm not going to respond to your text. Like, that's a fine way to make sure Sean doesn't respond to anything ever
again.
Hey,
Sean, I was just thinking about you. How you doing? How's everything going? Just one quick question. If you got an opportunity, if you don't, that's fine. What do we do if the station's on fire?
And then the station would be on fire because that entire mess, that entire like length of text would be left unread.
We're left unread and Drew's dead.
Yeah,
because he's like waving his leg. Did he respond back?
Because you didn't let him in on this little charade of yours.
Oh no, of course not. And he was like. Of course, you know, he grabbed the fire extinguisher, but if you know anything from the South State Radio studio, everything's made of whiskey. So, you know.
That didn't help.
Drew would grab the extinguishers, and it's actually Maker's Mark.
Right. Right. The fire extinguisher is actually a bottle of Jim Beam from 1970. Wait. Well, all right, quick, turn the water faucet and grab some. Nope, that's also an antique liquor bottle. Good Lord, get the phone and call 911. About that phone is actually an antique bottle of bourbon.
Boop, boop, boop. It actually sprays
right in the face.
Bourbon right in your face.
I don't know how to tell you this. I don't even know how the station's on the air right now. The computer? Oh, that's an actual half gallon of
that
bourbon.
That is true talk, because it's like the porcelain football guy. Like, I'll have bands come in the studio. Porcelain football guy? Yeah, that's whiskey. Oh, the jukebox? The slot machine? That's whiskey.
The whole computer? These microphones all have whiskey in them.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, I go for a drink right now.
Reach under your chair. Just go and lift it up, and
yeah, hit the lever that's supposed to lean it back, and it's actually there's just whiskey.
And in today's news, the Lyric Mall went up in a flash. It's the quickest. The fire marshal said it was the quickest burn they have ever seen. The entire building went up in 3.5 seconds.
It's the quickest blaze that we've ever seen downtown in the last couple of years.
Yeah.
And that doesn't really narrow it down that much.
Yeah.
Here's on calling out for work every once in a while because you just feel too tired. I feel like that is something you have fully normalized here and your day job.
Yes. No. I mean, that is...
Absolutely here.
That. Oh, yeah. That is true talk. It's a lot of time... When I say tired, it's not like, man, I didn't get a whole lot of sleep. It's where you just need a moment. It goes back to our previous statement where you just need a moment to collect yourself because you know whatever work you're going to do, it's going to be absolute blank. You know, it's going to be terrible.
Sitting right here, Adam.
I'm talking about my other job, but yeah, this job too.
This sucks.
This job where I come in and I need to be the chuckle monkey. And, you know, most of the time I'm just like, oh, I just want to sit down and talk about how bad society are.
So, how bad society are
the entire society as a whole.
A 5-part series that'll be going on the week I'm
out of
town.
Yeah. So, I mean, but like for my 9-to-5 job, if I don't feel 100%, there's a lot of times I'm going to be calling in because there was a couple times where I wasn't feeling great. And this was a while ago, mm-hmm. So I'm not going to throw my current employer under the bus. But this was quite a few years ago where I was not feeling good.
I was hungover.
It was something else. It was like a muscular kind of thing, like I lifted wrong or something, and I couldn't do the job to the greatest of ability. But I didn't call in. I went in. I punched in on time. I did all my stuff. And then at the end, I got written up because I didn't perform all my jobs correctly. And at that point, I was like, why, if I have the personal days, if my union has negotiated the personal days out there, why don't I use them? If I'm not 100%, because I was miserable that entire shift. I was miserable, and I got like at least 80% of the job done, but because I didn't get that 20%, I got written up, and I'm like, why?
I wouldn't have gotten written up for just not being here.
I could have just stayed home, got paid for it, and not been written up.
Avoided the whole mess from the get.
Yeah, so.
I mean, there it's hard to blame you. I mean, you also work a job over there that's a lot more, you know, that's fairly physically demanding. It's a lot of, you know, picking heavy things up and putting them down and whatnot. Though yes. I totally get it.
Yeah.
And this isn't necessarily about even being sick either, because I mean, I feel like COVID did kind of normalize calling in when you're actually sick. Like for a long time, like I was always the guy that would gut it out because you know what? If I'm taking days off, it's not going to be to sit home and be miserable. That's not.
No, there's a lot.
I was always that guy.
That favorite saying is, I can't believe I used a sick day when I was at home sick. Being sick.
Yeah, who wastes sick days on being sick? Where's the fun in that?
Yeah, right.
And I was always the guy that would push through that. Like, you know, once we realized just how bad, you know, COVID and, you know, spreading these things is, I mean, I'll still now, at least for this, just work from home, you know, just, oh, we'll be fine. But I definitely, like, as far as, I feel like it's still somewhat stigmatized doing the, like, oh, I'm just tired or, you know, the mental health day thing.
Yes.
And I'll be the first person to stigmatize you for it because that's just some weak, you know what?
No, I don't think so because... depending on the job, a lot of times, like if I heard of an air traffic controller or an airline pilot, say I need a mental day,
give them that day.
Absolutely. You need those days just to kind of
need those people at the absolute top of I mean, especially when you're talking lives are on the line here.
Yeah. Nuts and bolts of the whole thing is in our union. Negotiated this, you don't have to tell them anything of why you called in because I would give, I'm calling in because I've been thrown up and I would have a team leader say, well, I don't think that's a really reason to call in. And I'm like, well, where did you get your doctorate degree? Where do you practice medicine?
Yeah, where's your psych degree exactly?
So when I call in, I'm like, hi, thank you. Tell my team leader that I'm not able to make it into work today, and leave it at that.
Yeah, you're absolutely totally fine with that. Like I still don't really do that. Like you've seen me in pretty, you know, deep stages of wreck, and I still like I am the opposite of that. Like I force myself, and it's stupid. Like I'm not quite the guy that like goes in and I worked 100 hours this week and like look down on you because of what you do. But I also just can't make myself be the guy that, like, I need a mental health day. Like, if I'm taking a day off, it's for something major.
And I respect that. But also, I mean, the different types of jobs, it's a lot of, like, muscle issues. It's a lot of, it is mental issues, but
you're
really calling apples to oranges on some of those things.
But I think I also think that the mental is what the writer there was going for.
Sure.
A little bit. So that's kind of why I centered
more
on that.
If the writer doesn't need to take a mental day, then they're at a good job.
I suppose so. Let's go ahead and break. We'll close things off with the picks next. It is happy hour. Stick around. It's that time of the week. It's Friday. It's about as late as we can get into this show and still get it done. It's time for the picks. Got Drew on the line, our old pal Drew Duffney, who's going to help us with this week's installment. And looking to get back to my winning ways, at least. I believe, not last week, but week before, we had guests come in from across the hall at the massage parlor. They beat all of us. We should all feel bad about this.
Yes, exactly.
Because they don't watch football at all. What was that, Drew?
Now they're in Mexico.
They're always somewhere. Like, they're never in town. Like, they're always in Florida or Mexico or somewhere. Like, maybe it's because I'm a radio guy and know that vacations are just never a thing that are going to be affordable in my world. But man, wouldn't that be nice to take vacation from here, from anywhere? What's that, Drew?
We need to rub people for a living.
Apparently. I don't think anyone's paying for that service, though. So we'll go ahead and just jump right into this thing. We start with yet another Sunday morning game. Like, I still just don't know how to feel about this Sunday morning football thing. Like, it seems like every week we have a 9:30 start. I'm just glad that none of them are the Lions this time around. Indianapolis Colts headed to, Germany to take on the New England Patriots. We'll start with Adam Harahawk on the pick.
Give me the Patriots.
Drew.
The Patriots in Germany?
Yep.
I somehow think the outcome's not going to be good for them. give me the Colts.
Normally, I probably wouldn't be taking the Patriots in this situation, but I'm just not sold on the whole on Uncle Rico's their starter. Give me. And I like the guy, don't get me wrong, but just I don't see it. Give me the Patriots here. Up next, we have the 49ers headed to Jacksonville to take on the only good team in the AFC South, the Jaguars. We start with Drew on the pick.
Yeah, give me Rice Aroni.
Adam.
Jaguars.
Jags been rolling of late. I absolutely think, and this could very well help Detroit's chances of getting a top seed in the NFC, give me the Jaguars. Up next, the Saints headed to Minnesota to take on the Vikings. Adam on the pick.
Jeez.
At least the Saints still have their QB that they started the season with. Yeah, Minnesota, not so much.
That's going to be the saving grace. Give me New Orleans.
Drew.
I know I didn't go for them last week, but I think there's going to be some pillaging and plundering going on. Give me the Vikings.
Yeah, I don't have that faith. This especially now with everything getting blown up in Vegas and Derek Carr with the realization that, okay, maybe I wasn't the problem here after all. Who knew? Give me the Saints. Up next. Oh, no, we're not doing that. I'm just looking at some of these games. Like, it's a lot of trash this week. I'm not going to lie to you. We'll skip right ahead to America's Game of the Week. The Washington Commanders. The Seattle Seahawks. The Seahawks doing pretty well this season. Washington just traded away both their edge rushers. Sent one of them to Chicago, sent the other to San Fran. So that defense has taken a big hit. It's only because it is a national game that we're actually picking this thing. Adam.
Yeah, give me Seattle.
Drew.
Nah, I'll take Washington. The condoms.
Yeah, that's it. We'll totally go with that. Yeah, give me the Seahawks here. Washington, without Montez Sweat and Chase Young, they're not going to be able to stop anybody. They're certainly not going to be able to put any pressure on Geno Smith, that's for sure. Oh, sounds so familiar. Up next,
Sunday Night Football, the Jets and the Raiders. Now with 100% less Josh McDaniels and whoever it was that was their GM. Can they go on another run like they did after they sat Gruden? Well, we'll find out soon enough. Drew Duffy on the pick.
Come back to me.
Wow, I've never had a pass on this show before. Adam.
Yeah, give me the Raiders.
All right, back to you, Drew.
Man, I wanted to hear what you had to say too, because I'm on the fence on this game, so not the Raiders.
I don't know if I can go that far. I mean, in theory, a lot of things have changed in LA. You know, Jimmy G got benched. They changed over the coaching staff. I think that there's certainly a path going forward for Vegas to make at least a little bit of a recovery, if not completely. And also, the Jets, as we've established, are still trash. Give me the Raiders. And then Monday Night Football, the Broncos head to Buffalo. Again, game we wouldn't be doing if it wasn't for the fact that it's a marquee national game. We start with Adam on the pick.
Give me the Bills.
All right, Drew.
Yeah, Denver for me.
You're out of your mind. Give me the Bills all day on this one. Then finally, the game we all really care about, your Detroit Football Lions going to L.A. to take on the Chargers. So, Chargers have not had the easiest go of it this season. You've got a QB that a lot of teams would kill to have right now, as half this league seems to be benching their QBs at the moment. But unfortunately, he's got a coach that no one would take on in Brandon Staley. For now, anyway. We start with Adam on the pick.
Give me the Lions. Lions 34. Chargers 17.
Drew.
Yep, same for me. Lions 28-17.
You know what? I obviously am picking the Lions as well. And I could see this being a... Not a blowout necessarily, I could certainly see them pulling away to a pretty decent margin. So give me the Lions, 29, Chargers, let's say 10. Do a couple college picks real quick here. You know, not a lot of great matchups, it looks like, this week, so, certainly that fit our normal criteria for picking games. So let's just do the two that we really care about. And I'm scared for this one. Michigan State headed to Columbus to take on the Buckeyes. There's not even a line for this one right now. This is going to be it's going to be a blowout. I feel like I know this in my heart. As Ohio State comes in, you know, undefeated, Michigan State, you know, can't beat anybody. Adam on the pick.
Yeah, I hate to say it, but yeah, give me Ohio State.
Drew.
I mean, I rooted for the Lions for years, and now look at them. We're doing good. So, go State.
You're really picking them here.
Yep.
You finally lost your mind. If State loses by less than 40 in this game, I'll be happy. Which
Hey, 2 weeks ago, they were supposed to get spanked. Like the line was
did.
Like, well, they only lost by 15. The other team certainly didn't cover. They were supposed to. It was like 33. It was the points on that game.
Minnesota's also trash.
Yeah.
Then
Ohio
obviously,
State. All them people are not smart.
So give me Ohio State by 40. Finally, Michigan and a ranked opponent. Finally, we get to see them play a real team. The regular season has started for U of M. They're playing Penn State in Happy Valley. We'll start with Adam Harahawk on the pick.
Well, sign says long-haired freaky people need not apply. Give me go blue. Give me Michigan.
I'm so confused by that.
Signs everywhere are signs.
Ha, blocking out the scenery. Drew Duffy on the pick.
Yeah, I think finally they're going to beat the pants off of Harbaugh. So there's your sign.
I don't think Michigan's getting their first loss of the year here. Sorry. Give me Michigan. It's not going to be a blowout of a game by any means. I'll say Michigan really by seven.
You took Michigan and Ohio State. You're not even a Spartan fan.
I hate myself, too, but you know what? I want to win this week. So I guess there's my apology for this week. Apologize to all the people that, all the Spartan fans out there who actually still have faith in this thing. Except not really, because, you know, that's just your own problem, not mine. Anyway, stick around. Sessions is up next. All being well. Talk to you Monday at 3. See ya.